Welcome to the Euro Digital Partners Insights Podcast. I'm Sean Patterson. With me again is Matthias Subic. Matthias is a networking and security expert based in Vienna, Austria, where he's been explaining technology to curious people like me for nearly 20 years. Matthias, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sean. Nice to be back.
So let's jump right in. User tracking with ultrasound. 4 years ago, Wired reported on an emerging technology called ultrasonic cross-device tracking. The technology embeds high-frequency tones that are inaudible to humans in advertisements, web pages, and even physical locations like retail stores. These ultrasound beacons emit their audio sequences with speakers and almost any device microphone, like those accessed by an app on a smartphone or tablet, can detect the signal and start to put together a picture of which ads you've seen, which sites you've perused, and even where you've been. Matthias, this sounds intrusive. What's the story?
The story is, again, connected to mobile devices that you carry around everywhere and a certain part of software that you might not know is running on them. Think about a TV night. You're sitting in front of the TV and just checking on your mobile phone, on some websites or news websites, while there's an advertising running or there's a slow part of the show. In that moment, if the TV station is broadcasting an ultrasound beacon, then your mobile phone does not have the processing power to identify the current program by the content. It just picks up the beacon. So you have to figure it like a Morse code that will constantly being broadcasted while the program is running. So you all the time that there's an identification about what you're watching and what timestamp are you watching, or even in what region you are if you think about a federated network in the US. And you can't hear that. And I was very disturbed recently, as last week, as one of my kids it was saying, "Ugh, what's that noise?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm playing music on YouTube video, thank you." And they said, no, there's some squeaky noise, like dee, 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 dee. And I was like, "What?" And then I was running a YouTube video through a frequency spectrum display. And I found out that my speakers on my desk were emitting ultrasounds from a YouTube video.
Okay. So this technology has progressed to YouTube now.
I don't know if it's generally in YouTube, but it was on that video of YouTube. And so it could be that it is left in there from the original content producers. It's some sort of watermark to identify downloads and re-uploads of different portals. So to track how your content progresses over the web. Or maybe to track illegal sampling out of it, I don't know. But it was very interesting, so that my kids picked up this noise and could hear it. And then I was like, yeah. And in the same week, I read news that there's a new feature on Android Go 10 or something like that. So on some branch of the Android software, I didn't expect to have that kind of ability, that they now allow you to disable the right to use the microphone on apps, or even while using. So you do not have to grant the right all the time. So I figured out that in the past, on some Android devices, it was common for an app to open the microphone 100% of the time you're using the app.
I'm glad you brought this up, because the article from Wired mentions that the Black Hat Europe Security Conference in 2016 featured a group based at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and they presented an Android patch and a Chrome extension that was supposed to give consumers more control over the transmission and receipt of ultrasonic pitches on their devices. Am I to understand that now there's a workaround, at least?
There is a workaround for some devices. There is a workaround for some situations. But we still have to think about, as I said earlier, there is a constant evolution of advertising technology. So if you block the microphone for 100% of the time, you just have to make the user switch it on, like putting voice notes into a game or make it make the user want to switch on the microphone. And as soon as the microphone is back enabled, you are able to pick up that noise. And as we said earlier, an advertising ID that associates all your buying habits, all your going where habits with your rides, your sleeping habits, because when your device is off and on, now even can track what you're consuming without the device, and then even tracking where you are, like in the shopping center, in the mall, what shops are you visiting? That all can be connected to your advertising ID. And then think about if you wanted to hide something, you're basically not able to do that anymore as long as you have the device with you.
How pervasive is this technology in terms of marketing? How many marketers are out there using this? Is it quite commonplace, or is this still a sort of niche, sort of black magic kind of marketing?
I guess it's just an aggressive form, and it's not a black magic form. So each and every time an advertiser is forced to know something about you, like they want to know if you're watching TV tonight or something like that, they will resort to that technology. There are actually technology exchanges that sell different kind of identifying technologies towards advertising portals. So it's not like one big monolith structure anymore. There are so many different suppliers to advertising agencies. There are advertising brokers. They are agencies who only count impressions for publishers. So there's a whole ecosystem of different bits and pieces you can buy together. And on this market is ultrasound cross-device tracking. It's not going away. It's just if you're trying to step in and forbid something, they will evolve and go up to the next level. So we have to adjust constantly that there are new technologies in advertising that can be of very much use for the advertiser and are intrusive to the end user.
And if you're a marketer who wants to use one of these technologies, is it the case that you would actively go out and seek how to use it, or is it sort of baked into existing marketing tools that marketers are already using?
It's baked in. As you, if you are having a product, you will have an agency. If you are an agency, you will have technology suppliers. And if you are a technology supplier, you are working with publishing houses of games, as an example, to get your technology embedded in these free games. All the free-to-play games out there are all advertising-driven and paid for. So if you see a free-to-play game, and in my case, I only have to go down and take a metro ride, I can see people playing games as I would say that having been around since the Tetris era, but they are now constantly being made nicer looking and easier to get and easy to get into as an advertising sponsored free game on the Android platform and partly on the iOS platform. But if they're paid for models of these games, you even find black markets for cracked devices or rooted devices, so they people don't have to pay for the upsell version of the game. So there is, we are constantly living in an ecosystem of technologies, and user tracking with ultrasound is just one of the niches in there that we haven't talked about so much because it has no face. It's just not of any value for the user.
But it is dangerous, is it not, if we don't really know about it? And in fact, I think a recent article that I read pointed out that it seems to be the one technology that can thwart traditional web browser security I think even web browsers like Safari and the Tor browser, which is based on Firefox, despite being sort of the safest known browser on the internet, it's susceptible to this cross-device tracking, no?
Exactly. So if you are being Edward Snowden in some hotel in Hong Kong, telling your story about your former workplace to some reporters, and you're using something like an you're recording a voice message you leave for your family back home, and some ultrasound speaker from your hotel or the billboard outside will make you identifiable or your location identifiable, this is really, really dangerous. And you don't have to be Edward Snowden. It's just that if you look at your web browsing history and you don't want your family to know what kind of presents you're searching for Christmas, as soon as you are identified, even if you're not wanting to be identified, this advertising history will haunt you and will make it much, much harder to hide your valuable secrets of what present you're going to get your family. This is intrusion in our private lives. And that's one, I just presented different examples of how this is in a very unlikely case of our life being developing, but on a very, very basic level in your home, this can be an intrusion. And so therefore we have to stop this, we have to make a button to say, okay, now it's enough. I don't want to be tracked anymore. And all the ideas, I do not want to be tracked on the internet, resetting an advertising ID, switching off the microphone. There are so many steps you have to take, and it's constantly a problem that we are behind what's being developed.
Well, it makes a lot of sense that we would have the option for people to turn off a tracking technology or turn it back on again. Of course, some people just don't seem to care. Some people probably don't care if their birthday present secret is, or Christmas present secret is given up by an advertiser. But I'm wondering, what exactly is the data that is typically harvested by ultrasound tracking?
Depending on the information encoded in the ultrasound tracking, it might give away the content you're seeing cross-device, it might reveal your location, and it might reveal the time that it was recorded if it's not live tracked somehow. So even if you're recording a podcast or sending messages, they are now, by time and location, they're completely tracked.
So I guess to close this topic, I'm just wondering, who are the web browser manufacturers or developers, rather, who care about this issue? Does Google or Apple care about this issue? Does Tor care about this issue? I mean, who's doing what to deal with this? Or is it not being addressed at all?
Tor tries to address it, but the Tor browser is already putting a big burden on the user to be selective what to switch on what websites. So basically you cannot use a lot of websites in a very privacy-aware browser because the JavaScript tracking is switched off. And to give you an example, I was on one website which apparently was very slow when I was on a bad internet connection, but I wasn't downloading anything. It was just slow by interacting with forms until I found out that they are tracking where my mouse movements go while I'm on their website.
Sure. Tools like Hotjar are quite famous for doing this.
Yeah, and this is very, very bad if you don't want to be tracked. So Google, of course, does not have very much incentive in blocking advertising at all, but they try to block advertising which cannot be controlled by them and which basically just gives a third party an opportunity to track without going through Google. So Google might say have some moral obligation to say, yeah, we only provide the good stuff for tracking and not the bad stuff for tracking. So Google has the least incentive of the browser makers to do something. Apple has a higher incentive to do that on the browser side, but less interested in providing that tracking because they also run advertising through the App Store. So advertising in Apple Store apps might still be able to use some of the technologies in the limits that Apple sets them to track you. Yeah, and so therefore that ranks you to, yeah, the Tor browser will try to help you, but this will definitely shut you out of media consuming websites and so on. Apple will try to limit the tracking to what they think is appropriate and fits their brand. And yeah, that leaves out Google that will try to make it only working for themselves somehow. I don't want to go into Microsoft or so on, which can get an award for trying to provide a different experience, but utterly fails when you look at the new browser Edge that is delivered with a horrible tracking default page, which Bing search results, which are barely usable because of the amount of ads that is shown on the first page of search results. So I guess the same will apply to the tracking technology in them.
Well, we're going to have a special segment on DuckDuckGo, I think, in the future. So let's leave it there. Thanks, Matthias.
It was a pleasure being there again.
And listeners, that will do it for another edition of the Euro Digital Partners Insights podcast. Find us online at eurodigitalpartners.com/insights. And for comments or suggestions for future episodes, email us at info@eurodigitalpartners.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're there at EUDigitalP. Finally, please leave a 5-star review for us on iTunes and wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. Be sure to head over to beatyourcompetitiononline.com to get enrolled in the best and most practical digital marketing course on the internet. I'm Sean Patterson with Matthias Subic. Thanks, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.